Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations,
tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Du-du-du. Made by Mama's helpline.
I was literally about to go bing bong, bing bong bing. All jokes aside, we are here for a Friday Q&A all about you guys. We wanted to open it up to you today to discuss any kind of like dilemmas that you might have going on, any advice that you might need, any big issues, any small issues, any like just any form of help and advice, like a couple of agony aunts. We wanted to be here for you today. Because Georgia, you are wonderful at giving advice.
Am I?
Yeah.
Gosh, thank you. That's really nice. I've never really thought of that, you know.
You're a very calming influence and you're very stable and very solid and you don't really get fluffed. So when I'm calling you up in a fit of rage or floods of tears, you're very good at calming
yourself. Actually, I do know that. I am a calm person and I don't get stressed. And I'd say that is one of my strengths,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
But equally, I feel like I can phone you and talk to you about anything and you always give a really good thought out response.
Well, that's kind. And actually, I do really like giving advice and I really like helping people and I really like being there for people, and I'm definitely a sounding board to a lot of my friends, but I also require a level of like emotional support from people because I feel like we all go through our own stuff, but I don't know whether it's, you know, where I am in my life, my age, you know, maybe the hormones or whatever, but I definitely feel more up and down than I have done for a really long time. You know, I can be fine 1 minute and then I can be in floods of tears the next minute. Is that slightly unstable?
No, I was going to say, no, I really don't think so. And I think anyone I talk to, I don't know if it's like the environment that we find ourselves in now is so much more like high pressured, I guess. Mm. I don't know if it's us coming out of lockdown and there not being so many boundaries and how we've kind of got used to one way of life and now we're coming into the other. I don't know. I feel the same. I have some really good weeks where I just feel like, yeah, I've totally got this. And then all of a sudden I might just have one off day where I just feel like I'm just not capable of doing the things I would normally do. But I am really trying now to just like accept that, like just accept those days and not worry about them and just think, you know what, everyone's going to have an off day. And if I can't get the things I need to get done today, I just won't. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think when things are going well, like if your relationship is going really well and, you know, you've got good friends around you and your kids are in a good space and, you know, you've got, you're kind of ticking all the boxes, then you feel robust. And, you know, even if you feel like you're having a bit of a wobble, you know that all of your other foundations around you are in a really stable position. It's when you get to a point where, you know, one or all of them start rocking, that's when I start feel like I'm drowning. Like I'm like, oh God, what am I here for? And what am I doing? And, you know, I think the hangover from the pandemic is still very much around us. And that feeling of just trusting the universe that it's all going to be all right is gone for me. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be okay now, because it wasn't okay for a long time. It was fucking shit.
it was. But I do think like almost going through that forced a lot of us to evaluate and reevaluate exactly what we want from life. And I think that's definitely taught me, like, you know, I actually do quite like having a bit of time to myself. I really like having time to myself. And I know I need to factor that in. I know I need to, you know, like, take the pressure off when it comes to having really busy weekends every weekend. You know I need to have some downtime. There's so many things that I know that I need to have now that I probably just neglected before because we were so busy. And I'm really trying now to just keep those little, you know, things in place that keep me going and keep me happy and
keep you
stable.
Happy. Yeah. And I think you're really good. I take a lot of advice from you in that area, that, you know, we need to put those barriers in place to protect ourselves, because we can't just be pulled from all directions, you know, wife, mother, partner, best friend, you know, chef, cleaner. It's just too much.
It's overwhelming.
So yeah, I think lots of people are feeling like this today. I think we should get into the questions. We've got hundreds to get through. Do you want to kick us off, George?
We have. Oh, I don't know whether to have a second child or not. I nearly died because of the complications last time.
Wow, that's huge. That's heavy. And that's a really, really difficult one, because obviously that fear is very real inside of you when you get that close to something so horrendous. You know, your automatic response as humans, we think, well, it's going to happen again. It's happened the first time, it's going to happen again. And that would be a very real fear. I wonder if you have, I don't know the ins and outs of your complications, but I wonder if they were a one-off and they were, you know, just in that environment, in that moment, or whether this is an ongoing condition that could happen again a second time round, because I think that's something totally different. I think if it could happen a second time round and you've been given the warnings that it might do, then, you know, maybe you don't want to put yourself through that. If this was a one-off and it was an anomaly and they, you know, it was just what happened during your labor and they've said, do you know what, second baby, it won't happen again, then you've got to work through your fear if you do want to have another child.
We've spoken about, you know, birth trauma a lot. You know, we've had lots of different episodes, you know, one with Illy Morrison. We've really discussed it. And yeah, like Zoe said, if it's a medical reason, it might even be that it can, because you know that it happened to you last time, that they'll be able to, you know, monitor you more, you know, closer this time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might have a different type of birth or whatever. But I do think, yeah, you've got to think about your safety first and foremost. And then address those issues from last time.
Yes, exactly. And also, just on a final note, any form of birth trauma can be worked through. Any form of trauma can be worked through. So there are definitely things that you can do, people in place to help you through that. So yeah, definitely look into that. Okay, I like this question. Really stuck between going back to work full-time or part-time?
George. Do you know what? I sort of started talking about this the other day, about this whole, you know, the whole flexible working thing and how it can be great, but how you've really got to think about how it will actually work. Because I read an article, actually, I think it might have been in Grazia, about working full time but part time can sometimes feel like you can't give either your full attention. And I always thought part time work was the answer. Like, you know, you get a bit of time with your child and to be at home, and then you get to also work. And for me, it has worked brilliantly. But there have definitely been times where I've felt overwhelmed, like I'm not doing either well enough. So I think when you think about it, you know, if you go back to work full time and your children or child is in full time childcare, they are getting all of the, you know, support they need throughout the week when you're at work. Everything is done and you can just focus on your job solely. And then come the weekend, you have two days or however long it is where you can give your child your full attention, or your children your full attention. And so actually that can work really well sometimes as well, because it's almost like those 5 days you're just in work mode, and then when you come home, you're home and you can, you know, put your kids to bed or whatever it is you do, and then at the weekend you have that really good time. I think sometimes part-time the lines blur slightly. And I think as long as you're aware of that and you know that it can there might be weeks where you feel like you're really juggling both, then that's fine. But I would really think it through. I think so often we're like, yeah, I'll just go back part-time, but sometimes you're trying to fit a full-time job into part-time hours and that's just not feasible.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've said there. I think you need to look at, is it to do with the fact that you don't want to be away from your child or children, or is it, you know, the workload side of things? Because I really battle with that too. I mean, I'm freelance, as you guys know, so I'm in and out of work a lot, but sometimes I get to get up with the kids, sometimes I miss breakfast, sometimes I don't get to put them to bed, sometimes I do. So I have to be super fluid and flexible. But I think the thing that I can say is that when you're with the kids, it's really important to put your phone away, leave it, put it down and have that hour with them, you know, get them in the bath, read them the story, do whatever it is your bedtime routine looks like, so that they feel that they've had a piece of you. And actually, fundamentally, at what point do we turn around and say to our children, or are our children going to turn around and say to us, actually, mum, dad, like, I don't need you. Like, I don't need you now. I'm like, I'm busy doing something. And they shut their door. And then you're kind of like, you've still got to retain what makes you tick, because at some point they will say, look, you need to step back now. I always think about that, because I do feel guilty a lot of the time.
Do you?
I do, because like at the moment I'm on Drive Time. I'm having the best time of my life doing a radio show that I've wanted to do since I was, you know, 9 years old, but I'm not getting to put my kids to bed.
Yeah.
And then they're saying to me, where are you, mummy? Where are you? And in the morning they're crying, where were you last night, mummy? And it's like, well, I was at work, but I feel bad that I didn't get to tuck you in. You know, like, you can't have it all. So you've just got to work out what works for your family. That's the best advice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So there are going to be moments, I guess, where you miss bedtime and that kind of thing. And yeah, you've got to work out individually, like, what's important to you, what, you know, what you can compromise on. But yeah, I mean, part-time work is definitely not always the answer for any advice. It really isn't. This is another work question. My work boss is making my life hell. I'm currently off with anxiety. My new job doesn't start until March.
Oh, well, that person sounds like an absolute a-hole.
Yeah, they really do.
You poor thing. So glad that you're getting out of there and you're starting a new job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you've done the right thing.
I was going to say, it sounds like you've kind of solved the issue in some ways, but I guess it's just the next month or so.
Yeah.
That you kind of, I guess you just need to focus on what, you know, each week, sort of almost like tick the weeks off, tick the days off, however you feel like it's like a countdown. And I think things are manageable when you look at them in small chunks, you know, like, okay, let's just get through this week. What am I going to do to, I know, help keep myself okay, protect myself, try and avoid the boss that's making your life hell, or, you know, how are you going to protect yourself from that person? Because it doesn't sound like they're going to change their ways. And if you're moving to a new job, then it's almost just about like coping until then, isn't it? But I guess you've got a new job to start, and that's really exciting.
Yeah. And you know what I will say as well, that there are some amazing apps out there. Like, we love the Calm app Headspace and things like that. If you can start your day, if you're obviously off with anxiety at the moment, but there will come a point where you have to either go back into the office or work from home, if you can start your day putting in place those protective barriers to look after you, so that whatever your boss says to you, you know, doesn't touch the sides. I know that, like, whatever that person is saying to you, that's all about their stuff. And we need to make you as robust as possible to be able to deal with the next month. And we're sending you lots of love, and you can do it.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. Right, how to get sex life back when just surviving on little sleep and don't feel comfortable in my new body and don't want to leave the baby yet. We hear that one a lot, don't we, George?
Yeah, we do. Gosh, we've spoken about this so much. And I think, first off, I would just say, like, you're surviving on no sleep, you don't feel comfortable, baby steps, like literally baby steps to getting your sex life back. Don't expect that you're just going to click your fingers and, you know, things are going to be amazing again straight away. It's going to take time and a little bit of effort. And just first off, just don't put the pressure on yourself to get it back instantly. It might take a little while. But it's great that you've even thought about it. and you know, and it's something that you want to do. Because I think so many of us can just neglect that, and then almost you're however many months or years in, and you think, oh my goodness, like this feels like such a huge hurdle to climb again.
Yeah. Bit of advice that both Georgia and I would give to you is to communicate with your partner, is to sit the person down or do it, you know, when you're in bed at night together and just say, this is how I'm feeling about myself. This is how I'm feeling about my body. I love you. I'm committed to you. I want, you know, to work on our, in inverted commas, sex life and being intimate again. But currently, this is how I'm feeling. So that's your first step. So it's really weird. So in a relationship, we're quite happy to discuss, you know, endless lists or talk about the kids nonstop or fight about this. But when it comes to our sex life, we always put it to the bottom of the pile. And that's why the elephant in the room just becomes so massive. And then you're like, I can't talk about this. I can't talk about it. You've got to be able to talk to them. So that would be my first bit of advice. And then there are many different elements to a sex life. It's not just, you know, penetrative sex, which feels an absolute mountain when you've just had a baby.
Exactly.
You know, you actually don't want that. I mean, I didn't want it for a long time. And I know, George, you felt the same way. It's, you know, so there are other intimate things that you can be doing with your partner and that don't involve penetrative sex. And we actually recorded an amazing podcast, I think it was about 18 months back, with Dr. Anand Patel, who's got an incredible podcast himself. And we went into detail about, you know, all the facets of sex, how to get your sex life back on track, things that you can work on, things that you can do as a couple. And a lot of it was postpartum. So definitely check it out. It's a fantastic episode.
There's always a mother-in-law question, isn't there? Yeah. Living with mother-in-law that doesn't understand boundaries of privacy. Help.
Boundaries or privacy.
Privacy. Oh, geez. God. Okay. Oh, gosh. Do you know what? I remember staying at James's house. In fact, it was when we'd had Axel. And it was before we moved from Cheltenham back to London and we didn't have anywhere to live. We stayed with James's parents. And I remember finding it so weird that they would just open our bedroom door. Like, and we'd be in bed.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I mean, not, you know, not doing anything, because they could probably hear, you know, us chatting. But it's just such a weird thing to do. I don't know what it is about opening someone's bedroom door, but I just feel like that is a total, like, that is stepping over the line.
Oh, my
God.
You
can't
totally.
Do that. You cannot do that to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the similar thing with my mother-in-law, who had a key to our place in Cheltenham. And, you know, we would be in bed doing things and she would just walk in and be like, hi, Paulie. You'd be like, oh my God, is that your mother? So I completely understand that one. Really, really, really tough, especially if you're living with her rather than her living with you. I think, again, the reason these things become like humongous issues is because we don't feel like we can speak to them. Yeah. We need the backing. If you've got your partner there as well, get the backing of them and say to them.
I was going to say, I always think it comes better from the person whose mother it is. So whether, you know, that's obviously your partner's mother, it always comes better. Because then, I don't know what it is. What is it about the different sides of the family? I don't know what it is. It's like if one person says it about someone else's family, it can be offensive. But if the person who's in the family says it, it's
they
much easier to take.
Also, if her partner is male, the relationship between, you know, mother and son is always a really tricky one. So there might be a bit of that going on. Like somebody told me the other day that at their wedding, their mother-in-law turned up in a wearing black in a wheelchair. That happened. Can you believe that? And then halfway through the ceremony, she decided to get up out of the wheelchair and start dancing. I think it is quite tricky and intricate. So my advice to you, speak to your partner, get them on board, get them to have a conversation, do it all together, make it really lighthearted, make sure she knows that she feels loved, respected, looked after, all that stuff. But just say, listen, these are the things that are slightly bugging us at the moment. Can we please try and iron them out? We really think that you do well in X, Y, and Z, but you know, ABC isn't working for us. That would be
And also maybe, you know, put yourself in her shoes as well. You know, I understand that, you know, you might want to do this, but actually, you know, it doesn't feel comfortable to us. Is there anything that we do that you don't like? You know, make it like a two-way conversation, like open up the floor. Then she won't feel like she's being attacked. If it's just how, you know, let's make, you know, how can we live together harmoniously? Let's talk about it.
My 19-month-old whines non-stop, literally all day. Tell me I'm not alone. Emily, you are not alone.
Oh my goodness, that is probably the worst part of parenting. I think that's a number one, the whinging.
Ugh.
The whinging is so awful. I don't get it. But it does stop. I was just thinking about that. Axel sometimes still has a good whine.
This old, like, it does stop bullshit, though. When you're in the middle of it,
yeah,
and you feel like you are never going to hear anything else other than, mummy,
oh,
don't. And then they start crying. Kit was doing it this morning, and I just turned around to her and I went, leave me alone. Mummy can't handle this. And I had to walk away, and Dozzle was like, I'll take it, don't worry. But it's constant, like, absolutely constant. The I think somebody gave us a really good piece of advice that if your toddler is moaning and whining nonstop, distraction is key.
Yeah.
So trying to distract them with something else immediately. Snacks are always a really good idea.
Yeah, snacks.
Putting on their favorite TV show, getting them outside, going for a walk. Failing that, put them in a safe space, shut the door, and have,
yes,
a couple of minutes to yourself where you
walk
breathe
away from it.
Walk away from it.
Yeah, definitely. And also, maybe not so much now at 19 months, but even if you just get into the habit of it, so that when they do understand, it's, you know, it's just ingrained in you. I always do it to Gigi now. She's 2.5. I'll go, Mummy doesn't understand you when you're doing that. Can we just calm down? Can we just calm down? And then, you know, sometimes it works. Sometimes I just have to walk away.
Mm.
But yeah, it's quite a good habit to get into. Like, you've acknowledged them. Like, you're not ignoring them. You're acknowledging them. And then they can sometimes feel heard.
Good advice. Solid advice.
A 5-year-old who screams at us and shouts and gets quite punchy when he's frustrated. Help. I think
we can all relate to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we had a similar thing. Obviously, Kit's not 5, he's 4, but we had a similar thing with Kit at preschool where every time I picked him up, we were getting pulled to the side and they were saying, I had another incident with Kit. He was hitting, he smacked, he pushed, he snatched. They were like, we're working really hard on kind hands at school. And I was like, you know, I'm completely on board with it. Totally. They taught me through it. And I started to praise him. We made like a sticker chart at home. Tara, who helps us out, who's wonderful, was like, why don't we make him a chart? And every time he does something kind, why don't we put a sticker in it? The sticker chart really worked for Kit. And now we've had a real turnaround in the last couple of weeks where I'm picking him up and they're like, he's a different child. He stopped hitting. You know, he hit a girl and like, he didn't mean to, but in the face, he sort of pushed her in the face. Like, it was really upsetting. And I was really upset because I was like, Kit, that's not who you are. But obviously they just get into these phases of doing things. But I do think a reward chart and focusing on kind hands is a good idea.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also quite often, like, the screaming, the shouting and the, you know, punching or being, you know, not great with their hands and their actions can come from a place of frustration. A while ago we were actually doing a relationships podcast and our guest was saying that she lets her son like punch a pillow if he's feeling frustrated.
That's
and like
nice.
Let the anger out and like in a safe way. And so maybe, you know, if you've got a 5-year-old who might feel quite angry and frustrated, letting them punch a pillow or saying, you know what, if you feel really frustrated, go into the garden and scream if that makes you feel better. I mean, I do it with Axel can get really frustrated and cross sometimes, and he'll just take himself off, or sometimes he takes himself into the garden and just kicks a ball against a wall. It's actually amazing how he comes back in like a different person. For all of us, it's the same, isn't it? If we feel angry, we have things that we turn to. We might go for a walk. We might take ourselves off. We might sit down and have a cup of tea. Whatever that is, whatever your coping strategy is, it may be about finding one and helping guide your 5-year-old to sort of find one for him.
I screamed 3 times in the bathroom yesterday morning so loudly. I thought I was going to lose the back of my throat, but I was so angry. I felt this rage burning up inside me. It wasn't anything to do with the kids. I'd had a fight with Doz and I went into the bathroom. I just went, ah! And it just made me feel so much better. Also, they've got some really good books on emotions.
Yes.
So maybe explaining to, you know, your 5-year-old about their emotions, you know, how they're feeling, you know, where this is. Luna's got like a color thing at school where it's like, if you're blue, then you're sad, or if you're red, then you're cross. And it's quite nice to label it.
Yeah, exactly. And also just to know that all of those feelings are natural and it's just how you deal with them.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Single parent loneliness. Well, this couldn't come at a better time, really, because next week we have got, just after Valentine's Day, I think, we've got an amazing episode with the founder of a single parenting dating app, and we cannot wait to have a conversation with her. So make sure you stay tuned for that one, because I think there'll be lots of advice, lots of tips, and potentially we're going to find you a new love.
Yeah, definitely. Or, you know, like if you're just looking for, you know, friends, or just like you're not feeling alone. We've spoken before, you know, in our episode where we did friendships, there's so many ways to meet new people, you know, whether that's just looking up when you're in a coffee shop, whether that's going on some of the local Facebook groups, whether that's joining an app like Peanut. There's so, you know, there's lots of ways to meet people. And also you're not alone. You know, there'll be so many other people in your position who are looking for someone to chat to as well. And they're feeling lonely. So it's just about finding those people. Do you know what? I've heard this happen so many times recently. People moving away from the city to live closer to parents. Stay in a city we love, but far from parents and in-laws, or move so we have their support.
Well, I know what I would do. I'd like to hear yours first.
I'm so torn with this one because I've never lived close to my parents or my in-laws. I mean, we live about an hour from each now. So we don't, it's not like they're around the corner. And I do sometimes think, oh, you know, if only we lived, like, especially my parents, because they, you know, I'm the only child, and the Axel and Gigi are their only grandchildren. So their time wouldn't be split between lots of, you know, lots of other things. I sometimes think, oh, it'd be so much easier, you know, if I just want to go and have my hair cut, I would just pop in and drop the kids off for an hour, you know, an hour or 2 hours or whatever it is. And so I do think there is a lot to be said for that whole, you know, surrounding yourself with your village and having that support to raise your children. But on the flip side of that, if you love the city that you're in, you can still make it work. Like, you really can. Like, we now have just found someone to help us in the afternoons at home. The kids are at school. Yes, sometimes I wish I could just pop out in the evening, you know, or whatever it is, and be a bit more spontaneous. But I think you can make it work. And I think if moving out of the city you love is going to make you miserable, then don't do it. It's not worth it, because there are ways around it. It's lovely to have the support, but you don't need it.
That's such good advice, George. And that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say exactly the same thing. So I think we'll leave it there. Go, always go with your gut.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So another sort of work related question, but quite a few around this sort of topic. I'm about to go on mat leave. I'm pretty sure someone is gunning for my job. How to deal?
Oh, gosh.
Go on, George.
It's so difficult, isn't it? Because it's not their job. They might really want it, but you have that job for a reason, and you're going on mat leave. It's only as long as you want it to be for, and you are entitled to go back to that job. I think just remind yourself why you're in that job. Remind yourself why you're good at it. Work on your own self-confidence, because you can't do anything about them. No, there's nothing you can do about them. And I do think it's just about reminding yourself why you're in the job, that you're good at it. You're only going on maternity leave for as long as you want to be on maternity leave for. And if you want to come back, then you will.
This is what some corporations and some companies, obviously not all at all, because I know that some are absolutely brilliant, but this is kind of how we've been conditioned as women that go off to have babies. Mm. It's like, oh, you know, the language around it. Oh, well, you know, when you come back, you won't want to be doing the same thing, will you? Or you won't be able to fit it in because you'll want to take them to the doctors, or you won't be, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like, no, we can have it all and we should be able to have it all. And listen, if somebody else is gunning for your job, you let them go down the path they want to go down. That is your job, just like Georgia said. You earned it. You will be just as good, probably even better at it when you decide, if you decide to come back, right?
It's your job if you want it, and just remind yourself of that. But you can't control what someone else does.
Yeah. My boy is 12 months old and I've just found out I'm 6 weeks pregnant. I live in a 2-bed flat. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Just amazing. I was 9 months old when I found out I was pregnant with Kit. So I know exactly how that feels.
I remember when you found out. Yeah. Didn't we do like a shoot with Axel and Luna that day or something? Yeah. And you came and you was like, I'm pregnant. What am I going to do? Oh, gosh. I mean, first off, the fact that you live in a 2-bed, that's not an issue, really. Well, it shouldn't be, because as you know, your baby will be in the room with you for however long you want them to be in the room with you for. They could be in the room with you for a year if you want them to be, or longer. It doesn't, it doesn't matter. But also, so many children share a room.
Yeah.
I mean, Axel and Gigi love sharing a room now. I've been debating putting them in like just full time, all together every night, because they actually love it. And they're going to have quite a small age gap. So as they grow up, they're going to be really close and really close in age.
What is the age gap between the two of them?
What, Axel and Gigi? Oh, no, they'll be 3 years, but I'm saying this lady's children will be so, so close in age that it might be lovely for them to share a room and will help them form a beautiful relationship. So I really wouldn't worry about your living situation because... we all, we can make everything work. We can make anything work, can't we?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, exactly. Georgia's completely right on that one. Like, you're probably a couple of years away from it potentially being an issue if you just need more space from, the extra stuff that you have from having another baby. But in terms of, you could be in a 2-bed and that's plenty of room. And you, like Georgia says, put the kids in together. I mean, Luna and Isla share a room and they are so happy. And they've always shared a room ever since they were little. And if there was anything, if Luna woke up crying in the night and Isla would come in and say, Luna's crying, and I'd scoop her up and I'd put her in next to me. We just made it work. It was actually really lovely. Yeah,
exactly.
So don't worry. Don't worry. We'll just do a last one here.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. Do I stay in a struggling relationship because of my daughter?
Oh, that's so hard. I mean, a struggling relationship isn't the end of a relationship,
exactly,
as far as I can hear. So a struggling relationship, have you been through every single avenue to try and make it better? Like, have you seen somebody together to go and talk to? Because I really believe in couples therapy. I think it's so fantastic. You can get those services free on the NHS if you go and see your doctor. Or you can pay for them privately, if you've got the funds. But struggling relationship doesn't mean end of the road. And so I would say to you guys, I would exhaust every single avenue before you decide that the time has come to call it a day. But in terms of staying together for a child, my advice is always you can't do that, because that environment, you don't want that environment for your kids. Your child wants to see you happy. They want an environment where, the family are parents are in love and all, in an ideal world. And if there's rowing and if there's arguments, that's not a great space for them.
No, and also I think it's really important as well to show your daughter that it is important to look after your own needs and yourself and how to have a happy relationship. So if she grows up, seeing you maybe unhappy in your relationship, is she then going to think, oh, that's just the way it is? Is that what you would want for her? I think I always think that. Is that what you would want for your child? So then why would you want it for yourself? Like Zoe said, it's a struggling relationship. Absolutely exhaust, do whatever you can do to bring that back. But ultimately, if you're really unhappy, it's not worth it. Mm. And it's so easy, isn't it, for an outsider who's not in your situation right now to go, yeah, just move on, because it's not easy. It's difficult, and I guess know that it's going to be really difficult. But know that you will be, you will be happy, and it takes someone really brave to do it. But ultimately, yeah, you have got to look after yourself.
Yeah, you really have.
You know, that's throughout all parenting, all for all parents. Like, we can't forget ourselves in any situation.
No, because if we're not happy and we're not right, exactly, the kids won't be. Yeah. Thank you so much for sending in all your questions. I absolutely love today. We'll be doing another one of these in a couple of months. So if we didn't get the question today, please send it in again.
Rather than doing products this week, Sarah and I both love to read or listen on Audible. So we are going to go through some books that we feel like have really helped us. Yes. You're going to kick us off?
Yes, I'm going to kick us off. So I've literally just received this, but we've actually had Roxy Nafusi on our podcast before. She came on to talk about, you know, her feelings around pregnancy and, you know, the struggles that she went through. And at that point, she hadn't really been out and about or couldn't have her photograph taken. She didn't want to look in the mirror. She had a lot of kind of self-worth and real confidence issues. And wow, we just absolutely loved her. She was starting her journey then. She's just started her Agony Aunt Sundays. Anyway, you know, flash forward a couple of years. Manifest is her first book, Seven Steps to Living Your Best Life. And I really believe in manifesting. Like, I really believe in saying things on repeat and the universe and trying to channel good vibes and good energy and trying to create stuff off your own back. And I'm really going to give it a go because there's a job that I want. Without saying too much, and I'm like, how am I going to get it? I'm going to try and manifest it. So I'll let you know. I'm going to write it down and see if it works over the next 6 months.
Yeah, do it. Now, I actually bought the book on Amazon and then I downloaded it on Audible because I actually find I don't read books.
Right.
I'm much better listening to them. And I really like it so far.
Okay.
And I like the fact that she says that it's not something you can just practice for a couple of minutes a day. It's a way of life. And I'm like, yeah, she's right. She's so right.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it as well. This is another book that I've listened to on Audible, and it's called The Money Is Coming by Sarah Akrisombe. I can't remember how I came across it. I think I might have read about it in a supplement, like a Sunday supplement or something, and downloaded it on Audible, and I got through it in like 2 days. And again, it's kind of, I guess there's a bit of like manifesting in there, but it's also around having negative feelings towards money and how, in, you know, lots of us almost see having money as a bad thing. And, you know, like in this country, it's like if you're doing well, you don't shout about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you go, oh no, but you know, we only eat beans on toast if you've just bought a ham. You know, we have this thing, we feel like we have to caveat sort of our feelings around money. And it's just really interesting. I just really enjoyed it. And I guess it's just about not having a negative mindset around money and thinking of money as a positive thing rather than a negative thing.
Love that. I'm going to check that one out. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Now, from money book to baby book, I spoke about this a long time ago, but I feel like I need to give this another bit of love on the podcast. It's called How to Enjoy Year One by Rachel Waddilove. And it's just basically an essential book if you are expecting a baby to have. And it just gives you really relaxed routines to follow after baby arrives and just some really good advice on various sort of subjects around parenting. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing when Luna was born. I didn't know how to swaddle a baby. I didn't know how to, I didn't know what time a baby should go down for a sleep, you know, just things like that. And so, yeah, if you are expecting or you know somebody that's expecting, I think it's a really good gift for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And from sort of baby books to a workbook, this book is called The 1 Minute Manager, basically. And I was recommended it by a friend who works with, like, in leadership roles and managing, teaching people how to manage people, basically. And a lot of these sort of books I've always just found, like, I just couldn't relate to them. Mm. I don't know, not like they're nonsense, but I just couldn't get my head around them. Whereas this one was really clear, and it kind of talks a lot about how you manage people and how it's not about telling them what to do, it's about them finding their way and you just almost guiding them. It's more like a coaching book, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, so if you are, you know, like a manager at work, if you lead people, but also like as parents, we're leaders, aren't we? You know, our kids. It's just really interesting to listen, I guess, around how to get the best out of people.
Okay.
So yeah, that's another one.
Okay. And then my final book, which is just a novel that I'm absolutely loving at the moment. And producer Charlotte is also reading it as well. And loads of other people. I got given it as a Christmas present. So you can see how long it's taking me to read. Every night I'm like, I'm going to read a page. And then the author is Matt Haig, and it's called The Midnight Library. And it's about a character called Nora who decides that her life is falling apart and there is no hope for her. And she gets basically transported to a library of her life. And it's kind of a bit of a sliding doors book. So, you know, had you chosen this path, this would have happened to you.
Oh, I love things like that.
Yeah, I love Matt Haig. He's an amazing author. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'll let you know. Well, I won't let you know because you'll have to read it. I don't want to ruin it, but I'll tell you privately, yeah. Georgia, if it's any good or not. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, and thank you so much for sending in all of your questions. We really couldn't do these Friday sessions without you. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow.
And please tag us in your pictures where you're listening. We love to see it. I mean, I'm usually listening to a podcast in the gym or when I'm out walking, or sometimes even just when I'm driving in the car and I don't want to hear the kids in the back. Any suggestions for topics you want us to cover, or guests you'd like to hear from, then please just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.